All right, guys, we'll get right into it. Talked a little bit about Jose Miranda, but you know what next week actually is? A week from tomorrow is the Home Run Derby. A week from Tuesday, the Midsummer Classic, the All-Star break right around the corner for the Twins. Still got some games to play before then. We've got one more against Houston after we're done on the air here today. We still got, I believe, the White Sox and the San Francisco Giants before we officially get into that All-Star break. But we'll get into more Twins talk in a little bit here as well, but I'm going to stick on the All-Star train. Dave, I'm going to start with you. Mm-hmm. Which of the four major sports leagues is doing All-Star activities the best right now? And if you were in charge of any of the four major sports, what would you do to make it a more exciting competition?
Oh, boy. I don't think any of them are, because I'm really not all, the Pro Bowl does nothing for me. The NBA All-Star game, they scored 200 points. Didn't they? Wasn't it like 220 to 211 last year?
Yeah, it was pretty close.
A lot of defense.
It's ridiculous. hockey's okay. I like the tournament, the 3-on-3. It's kind of cool. Nobody really plays defense. I love the Home Run Derby. I miss the days when the Home Run Derby were the biggest of big names, regardless of how many they hit. And I'm not like Mr. Baseball guy, but like, I'd love to know who's going to be in it this year. It's the first player to announce he'll participate.
You've got Alec Baum. I think you've got Gunnar
Alec
Henderson.
Gunnar Henderson.
Gunnar Henderson's the MVP right now, Dave.
I know, but like, I want the big names.
Arguably the best player in baseball right now.
I miss
Aaron Judge.
The days when the Home Run Derby was the top of the top of the top. Yep. And it may be better this year, but it hasn't been in the years past.
He is the top of the top of the top. You're just not paying attention. Gunnar
Henderson. He's got 26. No, I'm paying attention. He's got 26 home runs. I know he is. Aaron Judge has to be in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Aaron Judge has to be in. But Gunnar Henderson is a good get.
I want Aaron Judge number two. If I could change it, I would do only skill competitions instead of games, because the games are silly. Nobody cares about the games. Nobody wants to get hurt, and I get that. I would rather see skill competitions. Give me the Home Run Derby. Give me the NHL skills competition. Give me a 3-point contest and a dunk contest in the NBA, and then just give me, you know. Give me the NFL challenge.
Yeah,
give me
that's exactly what the NFL did this year, isn't it? They essentially did tug of war and dodgeball and
yes.
You know, just
I don't care about NFL players playing golf, but I do like seeing them do other things.
I think the NFL is the worst of the group, absolutely, in my opinion anyway. And long ago, you know, it used to be kind of a fun thing for all of us. You'd get there. It was a pretty real game that they were playing. It wasn't what they do now where everybody's just dancing around out in the field and all the rest of it. It's not what it should be. And if they're not going to do it the way it should be, then you've just got to cancel it and do something else. So yeah. Whether that's skills or whatever, I think the NBA with the 3-point and the dunk is phenomenal. Still love that. Forget the game. Just don't even do the game. But Major League Baseball, the Home Run Derby, that is a staple. I remember going back as a kid. I'd go and watch that. I was not even a huge baseball guy, but I'd go in and I'd watch that Home Run Derby because it was so cool. And I to this day. But you do have to get the stars. And I know what you're saying, Charlie, when you say, well, Gunnar Henderson, he's the best this year. He's definitely somewhere in that category. But you got to get Aaron Judge. How do you figure out a way to get Aaron Judge to get into that thing?
You got to get Judge. You got to get Otani.
Otani would be great.
Soto. You got to get Bryce Harper. Like, I want all the I want the top 10 in.
That's fine. I'll throw this out there. I've been steadfast on this for a long time. The only way to make these games fun is to make them consequential. When Major League Baseball got rid of home field advantage for the winner of the All-Star game, that is when it got to start to be boring. I love it when it's consequential. I think every single league should have home field advantage for the All-Star game. That is what makes it fun. That is what makes it cool for the fans. And I am all in favor of returning to that status quo.
Also, we need a guy named Pinky. Please.
I love it.
We'll move on here. Twins, we already talked a little bit about Jose Miranda and that incredible streak that he's had. But really, it's been kind of a procession of great streaks. You have Buxton, who was really great for a couple weeks. You had Correa, who has been absolutely on fire. You had Lewis, who incredible when he can make it on the field. You've had all of these guys kind of go on these amazing little runs. And the offense has been phenomenal since they started out badly. At the halfway point, by the way, which was about a week ago, they were on a 9 90-win pace. I believe they're about on a 90-win pace again. But since they started out 7-13, the Twins have played at a 101-win pace. They have the most wins in the American League and the most runs scored. This has been a good team since a bad start. And Cleveland has just somehow been able to keep them at arm's length. That doesn't make them a bad team. So, Pete, my question for you, after the All-Star break, we will be getting into the trade deadline. How aggressive are you going to be at the trade deadline, and what are you going for?
I think you've got to look at pitching. You just mentioned it, how great the bats have been. I mean, Carlos Correa, as you said, phenomenal. I look at Will Castro, the ups and downs, but we know that we've got some bats in the lineup. We know we've got guys that can hit the ball. Obviously, Miranda just got off of this great run, Buxton. Can we ever have a healthy – I love Royce Lewis. I would love to see that guy somehow be able to shake this off once again, because – when you look at his career, it's always been what it is right now, and he's incredible. So I think from a pitching standpoint, that's where I would be focused. If there's anything out there that could fit into what would fit best for the Twins, and I'm not sure what that might be, Charlie, but in any case, I'd love to see something on the pitching side. And I'd be willing to give up something on the bat side, because I think we're pretty deep as far as what our abilities are at the plate. Now the problem is we've just got to hold people down as far as the number of runs we're giving up.
Yeah, and there's even more offensive reinforcements on the way, actually. It was just announced. Matt Wallner, who has been absolutely mashing in AAA, called up this afternoon. He'll be in the lineup against the Astros after we are off the air. Austin Martin to the IL for a couple days with an, I believe, an oblique strain. But Wallner's been absolutely crushing at AAA. He's going to get a chance again up in the major leagues. I mean, the offense top to bottom has been really phenomenal, other than, you know, Vasquez. I think we all know he is not the greatest at the plate, but maybe there's some value behind the plate. Yeah, I agree with you, though, Pete. I mean, it's got to be starting pitching, and you got to be willing to give up something there. It's just that Simeon Woods Richardson has turned into a number three guy instead of our number five guy. We still need those number four and five guys. Dave, what do you think?
I wouldn't do anything. I'm going to borrow a phrase, I think, from Derek Falvey last year, the year before that, that the guys that are going to be responsible for getting this team to the playoffs and winning are on the roster or in the system. And I don't like – I don't want to give up any assets simply because our top assets, guys like Byron Buxton and Royce Lewis, are not staying healthy. You have to – you can't give up a Brooks Lee, not that they would, or somebody else where – you know, you have to just get these guys healthy and playing more consistently, rather than just upset the clubhouse. I'm never in favor of that. Six games back from Cleveland is very doable with the guys that are on this roster if they're healthy and if they're consistent. And so, I don't touch a thing. I'm just letting this ride out. The idea that the what's going to get them there is in this clubhouse is real to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think you would look lower down the system, right? You'd look at guys who are maybe still top prospects, maybe on the verge of a Rule 5 situation next year, something like Charlie Soto down in Double A, still a top pitching prospect, but not right around the corner.
But are you going to get a legitimate
starter? Well, it's not just one. You have to package some guys. What's a legitimate starter? I didn't say a legitimate starter. I said just a number four or five guy. I don't need an ace out of this. You would have to pay a lot for an ace. You'd have to pay a Brooks Lee for an ace. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying you need some depth there. Festa coming up and down isn't going to be it. Dobnak might have to come up and make a start at some point. Who really wants that? They need something there. They need a little bit more depth in that area. And, yeah, they need the guys to perform. I think you're absolutely right. The Pablo Lopez's need to snap back and get back into form that they haven't been this season. Pete, I'm going to move back on to you. Free agency has opened in the NBA. While the Wolves do not have a lot of wiggle room due to some of the bigger contracts, they have made a couple of moves, both addition and subtraction. Quick summation here. They lost Kyle Anderson, Monte Morris, and Jordan McLaughlin, and added wing PJ Dozier, shooter Joe Ingles, as well as, of course, rookies Terrence Shannon Jr., and Rob Dillingham. They also re-signed a guy by the name of Luca Garza, who I know you're a big fan of, Pete. Also, kind of under the radar, they just announced today, Jalen Clark, one of their picks from last year, who they picked after he had a torn Achilles, is ready to go, and he'll be playing for the summer league team. He could also be part of that rotation. But, Pete, for the most part, the guys that are on the roster now are going to be the guys that are playing in the upcoming season. Do you think that they are poised for a better season than last year?
Had a great season. We can't complain about it. it came down to the very end and we just couldn't quite close. But what we've picked up, I think, especially, you know, from the draft perspective and getting Dillingham, I think that was going to be huge. Luka Garza, he'll get you something. I'm confident in him. I like this team that we've got. When you look at our top 8, 9, 10 guys, I think that we are a team at this point in time that really people should be scared. Terrence Shannon's going to be, I think, he was an unbelievable Big Ten basketball player. I think he will fit in just fine with what we've got right now. And as you guys know, I'll still be leaning on Naz Reid as a sixth man. I think that we are really well positioned to make a run towards the championship. But it's always tough. Ball bounces around a little bit. But I love what we've got as far as our team. I don't see anything that I'm concerned about at all. I love the fact that we've got the core unit, completely the core unit, with a few additions that could make us pretty scary.
Yeah, there's a couple of role players there that are exciting. Like you said, some of those rookies. I'm really excited about Jalen Clark. He dropped because of the Achilles tear. He was the defensive player of the year in college basketball his draft year. He has that ability. He has that ability to sub in. He has that one elite thing that he does, and that's what you need sometimes on the bench. You need that one elite skill to really be a rotation piece, and I think he could do that. Dave, you got anything to add?
I think that season, they'll be the – here's what bothers me, because I look immediately at what happened. Like, what did Dallas do? Well, Dallas added Klay Thompson. Granted, not the Klay Thompson of 5 years ago, but still, they got better. They lost a couple of guys who don't make a big deal. So I still think the West and Dallas is going to be tough to beat. And ultimately, I think Boston's going to be back there again, too, because they added and didn't lose a whole lot. So the year may be better. I still think, though, that they're going to have the same hurdles that they have to clear this year that they did last year. Anthony Edwards is going to be a year older, which is great. Hopefully, Karl Anthony Towns is healthy the entire year. If those things happen, I do see this team going farther and probably getting past Dallas, but Dallas is still going to be a big hurdle.
I love our depth. When you look at all these various teams, yes, Boston's great. We all know that. They're phenomenal, and their starters are incredible, and they've got depth, but I think our depth right now, and if you look at maybe even top 10 players, we are in position to really make this really interesting. And Dallas or anybody else, I think, is probably pretty worried about what they see in the Timberwolves and what they did, not only free agency, but talking about just the guys that we drafted that we added. Dillingham, I think, is going to be special. I know he was only 1 year. Mm-hmm. He's a young kid, 1 year playing at Kentucky, but he's going to be special.
Anthony Edwards only played 1 year at Georgia, right?
Yeah,
well, right.
I mean, one of them are successful all the time. And Anthony Edwards was not the greatest his rookie year. He was good, but he was not the greatest.
Everybody talks about the size of Dillingham, and I get it. But he's the same size as Mike Conley. So it's not that big of a stretch. They're both about 175 pounds. Yeah. They're both small. But that doesn't always affect you the way people all expect it to. It's not football. This is basketball.
Yeah, I'd make the assertion, Dave, that the Dallas Mavericks are worse with Klay Thompson on that team. I think that is subtraction by addition.
You think so, huh?
I just do not think that makes them a better team in any way, shape, or form. It takes shots away from the two guys that should be taking shots. It doesn't really space the floor because he can't make shots anymore. So I'm not that worried. I mean, of course, they're still a very good team.
They didn't lose anyone.
Yeah, sure. Dave, we'll move on. Last question here, quick one. I know you're not the biggest of soccer fans, but it's been a big story this week, right? The U.S. men's national team was ousted in the first round of the Copa America tournament, losing to Panama after an early red card in Uruguay when their butts were up against the wall. Coach Greg Berhalter is on the ropes now, it seems. They're going to decide his fate within the next week, per reports. And this team just never seems to perform to their talent levels. They have guys all across that are top-level clubs over in Europe, which is what you want out of soccer. So what needs to happen, Dave? Is it just as simple as a new coach? Is it a total reimagining of American soccer? How do you get good? I don't know, man. Do you want me to answer it?
I defer to you. Who knows? The problem is you can't fire the players, so you got to get rid of the coach. I don't know if why U.S. isn't as good at soccer as they should be. I mean, maybe it's because it's more of an international game than it is in the United States, but I it's still pretty popular here and played at high levels. So who knows? I don't know.
Maybe, I mean, you
maybe
can't lose
get a new coach.
Just a sheer amount of people, right? You would think
Okay. Is it arrogance? I mean, are they going into this tournament thinking, well, we should win no problem? And they
did
get
you
knocked
see?
Off?
So there was an interesting portion in the final game against Uruguay because they were having to watch the other game, which was Panama and Bolivia too, to see if they were moving on. And in the middle of the game, Berhalter comes out and he yells at the team. It's 1-1 in the other game. He's yelling at them, saying, "Oh, great, they're tied in the other game. Who cares? You played the game to win it in front of you." Yeah, I don't know. We're running real late on time, boys. Yeah. I think we got to hit the break.
All right. Well, we're going to actually talk some more soccer next, so I know you're going to be excited about this. Why does the MLS play during these tournaments when they have Copa America and the European tournaments? Because Minnesota United has dropped quite a bit in this last month because of a couple players that they lost. We'll discuss that coming up next.